Welcome to the July 4th, 2010 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is the commissioning service for our annual mission trip to build a home for a family in eastern Kentucky. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Witness. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Hey, we welcome you to College Park. It is 9:03 and we have started worship. And we welcome you to this Mountain Outreach Commissioning Service. We thank you for coming this early on a Sunday morning. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We want to make sure who is in worship. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike. If you could take those pew pads, put your name down, check the appropriate boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. That helps us find out who is in worship today. Also, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful. The first person, when it gets back to you, if you could take out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service, and that will help us find out all of your information. Thank you for helping us with that. Very excited to announce that next Sunday, we are starting the renovation of the preschool hall. Next Monday, a week from tomorrow, we will be starting the renovation of the preschool hall. We're very excited about this. A lot of people have worked very hard. We planned and planned and planned, and then all of a sudden it's here. And so there's going to be a lot of work that goes on next Sunday afternoon to kind of clear out the preschool hall. But we're very excited about that. A lot of people have worked very hard, and we're ready to go. So I think Mary has an announcement about that.
Okay, so a week from Monday, renovations. A week from today, 4 p.m, everybody who's got arms and a leg and can walk stairs or take the elevator and carry something big or small, we need you here. I do think there's something for just about every age group to do, just about. We've got big things to carry. We've got lots of little toys to carry. We could use just about everybody's help. So we're going to meet here at 4 o'clock next week. We do have a plan to make this go hopefully quickly. The more hands we have, the better it is, and the quicker it will go. Child care will be available if you need to bring little ones who aren't quite big enough to carry something. Pizza will be eaten by those who would like to eat some pizza. So all of that will be provided for you. So we will have not only a good time of moving and a service project to do here at church, but some fellowship as well. And I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun to do a project like this. You get to be with people that you don't always run into in your normal classes and that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to that time together, and I hope you are as well. We'll see you then.
All right, there are other announcements listed in the bulletin. Just want you to make note of those upcoming events. It's pretty quiet at church this week. You can check out that schedule on the back, the opportunities for the week. So I think that's all the announcements we have. Any others? All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest with us this morning, just raise your hand as the ushers come back down the aisles. They'll be glad to give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, and also tells you what's a little bit of the story of College Park. So we're very blessed by your presence this day. It is time for us to worship, to gather together as the body of Christ, to sing, to pray, and to hear what God has to say for us. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Our Father, on this day, this body has decided to rise up as the church of God, to be your hands and feet, both in Winston-Salem and in Kentucky. We thank you for the privilege that it is to come to celebrate what you are doing in this world. Come into this worship service, we pray. And may everything that's done in this place be done to glorify you and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Can you tell that I got the air conditioning fixed? Can you tell that this morning? Yes. It was leaking Freon, and that's all fixed, so it's all good this morning. We're glad that you're here. We're delighted you're here. And for many of you, this will be the last time that you'll be cool for a week. So kind of enjoy it. But we want to invite you, if you have your Bible with you or if there's one close by there in the pew, to join me in kind of reading through the first part of the book of Acts. I'll be in Acts chapter 1, be reading the first 11 verses, invite you to follow along with me. It's a familiar passage. We've heard it many times, but we want to spend just a couple moments kind of thinking about a couple points that are in this passage as it relates to the adventure that we will share together as a total body this weekend or this week coming. So Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven." Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the awesome promise, the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, and the gift that was given to allow us to be your witnesses. Father, we thank you for this lesson from your word. May we apply it to our hearts and our minds and our actions so that we would have been affected by our time here in worship this morning. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're not ready to sing yet. I do get a couple of minutes here. Of course, if you don't want to hear, then I guess we'll start again. But Jesus sends us out. He sent this group out, but Jesus also sends us out. That's why we worship together. That's why we're here to celebrate this morning, an opportunity where we're going out. And he sends us out as witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's what it says. You know, but unfortunately, a lot of us kind of shrink from the job. Now some of us shrink back from the job because we're uncomfortable talking about Jesus. Now, it's not that we don't love him, but it's a whole lot easier to say, "Why don't you come to my church? We're going to have this cool event and we want you to be there. Let me tell you about the programs we have. Let me tell you about the mission trip we're going on. Let me tell you about the things that we do and the people that we serve." And those are all good. Some of us shrink from the job because we don't want to be associated with other people who call themselves believers who act like they don't have a lick of sense. You know, some of us shrink from the job because we're not really sure about all the specifics of theology and all that we really believe about Jesus. We haven't got all that figured out. And somewhere along the line, we bought into the idea that says unless you have complete clarity, you can't be a witness. Some of us shrink from the job because a witness for Jesus sounds so oppressive and one-sided, exclusionary and politically incorrect and all of those things. The 11 disciples, along with Mary and the women, don't really seem that different from us at first, if you think about it. Jesus tells them that they're going to be his witnesses. And the first thing they do is retreat to an upstairs room. Translation, church building. Jesus tells them they're going to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And as soon as he's out of the picture, they close the door, lock themselves in, and pray in private. Translation, church building. Jesus sends his disciples out into the world to be witnesses, and it would appear, at least externally, that they shrink back from the job for whatever reason. And I can understand their reticence. I really can. Because the Greek language is so diverse. I mean, it's so rich. But yet the word that translates witnesses literally means martyrs. Can you understand their reluctance? Martyrs. And in the legal tradition that continues to this day, a witness was someone who, because of their experience or because of an observation they've made, is called upon. They're in a unique position to tell the truth about a series of events, something very important that happened. The disciples have been called to be witnesses to God's mighty acts in history, to proclaim good news in an empire that has crucified good news before. They've been called to tell the world that God has overcome death. God has defeated the empire's myth of violence by raising Jesus from the dead. They've been called into a proverbial courtroom, if you will, to witness to the fact that Jesus, who he was, what he did, amid competing testimonies of their time. Testimonies that promised peace through violence, that promised fulfillment through accumulation of stuff, that promised power through exploitation. Does it sound familiar at all? But their primary piece of evidence, Jesus himself, he isn't going to be there. Jesus has left the building, literally. He left their room. He ascended to someplace else. He's been raised from the dead not to come back and spend time with them, except for that 40-day window there, but to ascend to glory away from where the disciples are slogging it out day by day by day. Away from where they're at risk with the empire for sharing Jesus' message of love and forgiveness and peace and justice. How in the world can they possibly witness without Jesus even being there? Who will prove it? And from the way that Acts tells it, the disciples in Jerusalem have nothing to worry about. It seems that their fears will end, their uncertainty will vanish, they'll get clarity, you know, that all of that will disappear. And perhaps be even more clear than when Jesus was even here. They'll rise to the occasion and proclaim the good news from the mountaintops. That's the way it sounds. It appears as though these witnesses, emboldened by the Spirit, will not shrink away from the job. But Jesus doesn't promise that. What Jesus promises to them and to us, he doesn't promise fearlessness and certainty and ease and clarity and self-developed courage. He promised the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will give them power to be witnesses, to tell the truth of God, the truth that they have learned through the life, the death, and the resurrection, the Son of God that they walked with. The Spirit doesn't guarantee an end to their fear, our fear. The Spirit only guarantees that fear will not end our witness. The Spirit doesn't guarantee an end to the uncertainty, only that we will still be witnesses in the midst of that uncertainty. The Spirit doesn't guarantee an end to their discomfort, only that discomfort will not stop them from witnessing to the way of Christ. Amen? So the promise of the Spirit is the promise of power to be Christ's witnesses in a world that persistently punishes those who would dare to tell the truth. Jesus doesn't send disciples who have it all figured out. He sends disciples who have denied him. He sends disciples who have run from his call in the past. He sends disciples who've questioned whether they even want to be associated with him. Jesus sends them. Jesus sends us. Jesus sends us out to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, to the dangerous places of deepest pain, armed not with power and money and sophistication and superior intelligence, but only with the power of the Spirit. The testimony of the first apostles, the first witnesses, the first martyrs, is that the power of the Spirit was more than enough, is more than enough. And so how does all this relate to Mountain Outreach, you ask? Well, if we approach Mountain Outreach as just going to build a house, then it probably doesn't relate at all. But if we're called as individuals and if we're called as a church to reach out in the name of Christ, to minister in the name of Christ, and to lovingly declare the name of Jesus Christ as witnesses, then Mountain Outreach becomes a whole lot more about touching lives than it does about building a house, doesn't it, Roger? Building a house is something that anyone can do with the proper training, and quite frankly, in the scope of eternity, it is a tiny thing. Being a witness for Christ is something that only we as believers can do with the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the scope of eternity, it is enormous. So what are we going to do? Are we going to build a house, or are we going to impact eternity? The really cool thing is that we have the somewhat unique opportunity to do both. It just requires a choice on our part. May we be faithful in our choosing. Amen. Now, would you stand and sing with me?
your place. Our God of grace and mercy, in the stillness of this space, we come to you to say thank you. Thank you for all the freedoms that we enjoy. And may we not be complacent or take for granted any of those freedoms, including the freedom to come here today and to gather and to worship you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
We want to invite those of you who will actually be going with us to Kentucky, if you would make your way to the front here and just kind of line up all the way across the front. Bring with you your order of service because you're going to need that for the two responses that are there. If you would come on down, make your way. All of that will be going with us. If you'll come line up across the front here, watch the microphone cable as you come in. Roger, if you would, please, this time, give us a challenge for this, not only this group that's going, but also those who will be staying and praying.
Thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. Jeff, are you learning anything? First of all, I want to talk about the challenge. It is indeed a challenge to get ready to go to Mountain Outreach. We've had many people who've done such a great job getting us ready. Our bus is past Asheville already. That's a challenge. Our trucks are loaded, and we've got people already on the way up there. The food people are finishing packing, and then they'll be ready to put that truck on the road. We had a challenge of a goal of $26,000, and I'm happy to stand here and tell you today we have $28,265. Isn't that fantastic? Now, the real challenge is what we're ahead the rest of the day and the rest of the week. As Raymond asked me to get prepared for this week, I've thought of many things to say to you. But the most important thing I want you to understand is if we'll use Matthew 25, 35 through 45 as our guide this week, we'll be in good shape. It is indeed a challenge to go this far and to get a house built for a family and let it be a light unto God's up there in the mountains. Every day, we each have someone put in our path. Now, whether we respond to it or not is another thing. This week, you're going to have people put in your path. And how you respond to them, I hope, will be the guideline of Matthew 25 through 35. So the challenge is that we will be a light unto for Jesus Christ in that mountain area. That people will know that we're there in the name of Jesus Christ. And that we're there to love them and care for them and get a blessing from that for ourselves. So the challenge again is to go and build a house and make a home for these five people, four girls, that we can make a change in their lives for the rest of their lives. So do your job. Be mindful of who we are and why we're there. Okay, Jason.
We want to respond to the challenge that we've heard from Roger. And Roger, thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. In your order of service, you'll see response of the congregation. Would everyone read that with me, please? We recognize that God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. And we know that there are different kinds of service to God, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are His. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So on behalf of our Lord, we pledge to do our part by remaining here to pray for each of you. We will pray for our mission and your safety. And now the response from the participants who are actually going, as well as those who've made preparations. We acknowledge that all of us are the one body of Christ, and each one of us is a necessary part of it. Some of us have been the hands and the feet that made preparations for this mission, and others will be the hands and feet going on behalf of the whole body to complete the work. Even as Christ gave his whole self for the church, we pledge now to give our all to serve him. We accept the challenge of this work and thank you in advance for your prayers.
To all of you going to Kentucky, thank you for giving of yourselves and your time and your talents this week. And we know God's going to do big things through you. And those of us who are staying here, as the response, as we said in the response, we will be praying for you. And we'll do good work while you're gone. Let's share a prayer of dedication together. Lord, the mission has started this morning. We thank you for all the ways that you've assisted us in the preparation. We pray for safety as this group travels to Kentucky. We thank you for their willingness this week to give of their time and resources and abilities and energy to go up and to do your work. We pray that as they go, that they will feel your strength the entire way, that they will see the clear vision this week of your plan, Lord, and make no mistake, we want to do your plan this week, not our plan. We ask that you make your plan clear to us. Allow us to minister to this family and wrap them up in your love and in our love, and help them to feel your presence with them through this process. Lord, you share with us in Matthew 7 Jesus shared with us that we should build our house on the rock if we are to be wise. As we go this week, help us to build this house on the rock, and help us to establish a house built on the rock for this family. And in doing so, help us to renovate and fortify our own houses, and be blessed as we seek to bless this family and all the people that the group will come in contact with in Kentucky this week. Lord, work through us today, work through us tomorrow, and all this week as we accomplish your plan in Kentucky. Thank you for this group. Thank you for this church and all you're doing through us. Amen.
Those who are participating, if you would, you can make your way back to your seat. I want to invite all of you to stand with us now as we sing together a hymn of commitment, hymn number 589. And even as we stand and sing, we're aware of the fact there may be someone here who does not have a relationship with Christ. If that is you, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. So I invite you, if you would, all stand, sing with us hymn number 589, Ye Servants of God. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, now as we go, help us to go with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that not only our lives will be strengthened, but those that we come in contact with will be touched, Father, by your Spirit living through us. Father, we're willing, we're able. Father, we pray that you would use us this week in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.